This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to this November 7th edition of Invest Talk, Above Average Investing for the Average Investor. Investing can be a roller coaster ride, but good preparation gives you the confidence you need to keep your stomach settled and find long-term success. You're invited to use our 24-hour listen line for any questions you might have. We can talk live during this hour, 4 to 5 Pacific time, or you can leave your questions on our 24-hour listen line at 888-99-CHART. And we'll go to that in just a second. Now, the Dow Jones Industrials managed to ring up another fresh all-time high today, up 6 points, but it's still an all-time high. And as we watch stock prices rise higher, we want to put an asterisk next to the numbers, flagging them as overpriced. You know, I've talked about that quite a bit here. We're living with an overpriced market. It's as simple as that. It's just the way it is. Maybe should we say that that's the new normal? I don't think it is, but that's what it is right now and has been for a while. So the question is how should we respond to it now? And is there a cause for concern here? Now, Justin and I are going to try to answer some of these questions on our November 16th upcoming InvestTalk Wealth webinar. That's the 16th. This is another one of the free live webinars we put on every so often. How to find income and value in an overpriced market. Now, if you're looking for income, there's a way to uncover some sources of that. If you're looking for value for the long-term investor at least, there are bargain hunting techniques that we're going to share with you, we can help you with. And here's what we hope you will learn during the show: how you can tell if a market is overvalued, how to find income opportunities, how to create an income portfolio, and then finding true value in buying stocks, corporations, companies. Now, you know, legendary investor Benjamin Graham, now if you haven't read his book, The Intelligent Investor, and you are serious about investing, you need to read that book. Now, his rule is an undervalued stock is priced at least a third below its intrinsic value. But where do you look to find a company's intrinsic value? And he wrote that book in the 1930s. Was the value different back then than it is today? Now, there are methods to find out what intrinsic value is. Hopefully, we'll be able to show you some of that and show you some income through retirement techniques. You want income in time. There are ways to invest your retirement savings and use just the interest and dividends to generate income and spend that. Leave your nest egg alone. Now, if your goal is keeping your principal intact without selling investments to generate retirement income, not having to worry when the market drops, this is a good method to use. Buy solid. Well, we can show you how. We'll talk about it. So I hope you join us on our live webinar. That's Thursday, November 16th, 6:30 to 7:30 Pacific time. Invest an hour with us. I know you'll realize a return from it, at least a return of knowledge at the very least. Again, it's free, but the numbers are limited. So I urge you to sign up soon. Just go to investtalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab, then webinar. Now let's open up our 24-hour listen line and check in with some questions. Here's one that came in before the program.
Hello, Steve or Justin. My name is Rogelio from warm and sunny Albuquerque. My question is in regards to asset allocation and whatnot for my mother's retirement account. I've been listening to you for the past year, and I really wish I would have been able to intervene sooner with her. She is now 64. She's approaching retirement age, and she's really wanting to at this point, you know, retire, but she's holding out a little. Currently, she's got a good $40,000 in a retirement account, which has been managed by Fidelity with high maintenance fees and whatnot. But recently, I kind of reallocated her assets to more of a little aggressive approach to international stocks and some large cap stocks. We probably put out about 70% stocks and some bonds there. So just based off of the previous performance that I was able to see with them, you know, I'm trying to get some good return for her and just really keeping an eye on it. what do you think of this approach? And just looking for some feedback on that. I appreciate it. Thanks.
Well, you said she's wanting to retire. She's approaching retirement. And really what you want to do is get less aggressive, not more aggressive. Yeah, everybody wants to be aggressive and make more and more money. But you exchange that aggressiveness. You're right now you're currently used to a long-term bull market. So you naturally assume that this is just going to continue forever. And it won't. Okay, it won't. I can't tell you when it will stop. But if you are approaching retirement, you can't take as much risk as you can if you got 20 years of retirement. So my suggestion is you cut back on the risk, not increase the risk. Even though there are reasons to be in the market and all those other factors, but it, you know, I don't have enough information about her money. If she's retiring, does she need this $40,000 to live on? Can she leave it alone for 10 years, 15 years? Does she have other income sources in retirement that we didn't talk about, that you didn't mention? Those kind of questions are what I need to know to really give good, solid information. But in general, if you're approaching retirement, you're close to retirement, you take less risk, not more. You don't become more aggressive, you become less aggressive. Now, how much more or less aggressive, that depends on your mother and how comfortable you and her are with the market, no matter what it's doing. So, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Now, let's look at our list of topics today. With interest rates still low, investors need to be creative, focusing on low-cost investments such as ETFs, maybe part of a good income strategy you might want to employ. Brainstorming income investing. That's what our main talking point is going to be today. Income investing. Also, I want to talk about, I got two diametrically opposed lists. One of five issues, five statements. Five. One of them is for five signs of financial euphoria. The other one is five important reasons why a stampede into stocks may be just getting started. Now, five signs of financial euphoria means that the market is ready to roll over and go down. Once you have euphoria in the market, everybody's in, the run is done. This other one says, no, we still got reasons why it should go higher. So I kind of like it. They're kind of opposed, two different thoughts on the same market by different people, and both of them have different diametric opposed views of where the market's going to go. I thought we'd talk about that. Also, where is or where will inflation show? I've talked about inflation in the stock market, but what about other places? There's inflation out there, everybody. Just not in the typical places that we normally see it. But are we getting closer and closer to our typical inflation run? And the Fed doesn't even know. So no one really knows. But those are the three things I'm going to discuss. The market was mixed today, the Dow up 6, the NASDAQ down 19, and the S&P up 1. And remember, I'm giving the up versus up stocks up on volume, stocks down on volume from IBD, Business Daily. 50 were up on volume today, 481 were down on volume today. You can see there's still a pretty strong trend on down, but the market still keeps marching up. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. What is your investment strategy? If you're buying stocks without a clear reason, then you should be buying. Shouldn't be buying at all. Your reasons have to be beyond just the expectation that they'll go up. That's not a good reason to buy stocks. Did you pick the stock for growth? Did you pick it for income? Did you pick it because of stability? Did you pick it because it's anti-cyclical, or it's because it is cyclical? You got to think about all those things. 888-99-CHARTER is our number for any money questions you might have on InvestTalk. Now, a potpourri of income investing ideas. How to generate income. It's very difficult since interest rates are so very low. You know, people can, it's almost impossible to generate income, any decent income, and trying to be safe about it. Safe would be treasuries and CDs. Those are safe, but you can get very little return. Very little return. And so that's always a problem. So how do you generate income? And if you reach too far to get that income, you're going to take a lot more risk, a lot more risk than some people think. Don't even realize they're taking that risk. They will when the market goes down. But one of the ways, of course, is dividend investing. And there's ETFs for dividend investing that can help you with that. You know, the exchange-traded fund, there's a, I have even a short list I send to people, about five or six or seven of them. And that is a good way to get good diversification. And you're going to get 2 to 3%, maybe a little bit more than that. So you're not going to get a huge amount, but you might be able to beat inflation at least. Okay, and with the possibility of price appreciation. So that's possible. You can also buy bonds. We've talked about bonds. You know, you can buy and ladder the bonds over a period of time. I wouldn't go out too long, maybe no more than 5 years or so, maybe six. But, you know, with high-quality bonds, you can go to the low-quality bonds and you can get a lot better return, but you're going to take a lot more risk for it. And really, junk bonds, they're called, or, you know, the high-yield bonds, they're called junk also. They have, in economic recessions, they have a very high default rate, 20, 25% or so. Whereas non-junk has very low default rates, even in recessions, in the low to middle single digits. So, but you can get more income, but you just got to take more risk. You can buy a master limited partnerships or REITs. Both are designed to pay out dividends. And they have tax implications that you got to think about, both of those things. So those are, how about even another route? You might go to the preferred stocks that are kind of semi-bond stock kind of situation where there's a fixed yield over a period of time. And you know, they can go up in value. They're liquid. You can sell them. So there's some ideas for trying to get some income. Now, of course, you could go to the bank and each bank, and you could put $250,000 and buy some, you know, some CDs or savings account, but you're going to get, you know, 1-2% maybe. So it's kind of difficult to generate any income from those things. Okay, 888-99-CHART is my number. Let's go ahead and go with the 24-hour listen line. Pick up another call. 888-992-4278.
Hey guys, love the show. Just had a question about First Data Corporation, looking to get into the global payment space and like the fundamentals of the company when you compare it to Global Payments Network. I just want to see what you guys think. Thanks a lot. Bye.
First Data Corporation is a $15 billion company. So it's a large cap company, provides payment service solutions to clients in 100 countries and over 4,000 financial institutions. Okay, payment solutions. It's going to make $1.52 this year after making $1.32 last year, $1.56 next year. Now, 2010 to 2013, they lost money per year. Sales are growing about 3-4%. Debt is very high. Well, probably because they're borrowing money to lend money out. So you got to look into that. It's a bit expensive in relationship to its own 5-year PE range. You know, the 5-year PE range is 3 to 13, and it's at 12. It's a $17 stock, $16.84. It's going to make $1.55. So that means it's going to be about 11 PE. Turn into equity is very high. Well, that's because they borrow lots of money. You get a high turn of equity, so it's kind of, you know, it's not something you really use very much in this. Management owns 6%, which is good, and mutual funds are buying it. Okay, just a little expensive. FTC. This is InvestTalk. I'm Steve Peasley. InvestTalk is a two-way conversation. Give me a call. 888-99-CHART. We're going to talk to Manu in Fremont. How are you doing, Manu?
Good, Steve. Thanks for taking my call. Steve, I have a general question. What do you think about the technology stocks and their valuations and cap? Can they keep going up? Usually I see they have forward PEs from 40 to 50, some even 60, even mega caps like NVIDIA and all that. Do you think it sustainable, or are we looking for the correction or something?
Okay, it's definitely not sustainable, Manu. It's definitely not sustainable. It will, but I wish I could tell you that, well, then it's going to stop here when it gets to 80 PE and then roll over and come back to more normal. Now, the tech stocks usually have a high PE. I mean, they generally trade at higher PEs. But historical, that meant, you know, 20. That's what that meant, historically. 20, yes. Maybe 25. You know, not 40. You know. So the trick here is, when do we know that it is high enough or that it's going to start rolling back or that it starts retracting to the mean? You know, and how it could do that, Manu, is earnings can pick up and the price can come down. It doesn't have to crash. It does not have to crash. The stock price could go, the stocks could go sideways for a year while earnings are gaining more and more steam. So it doesn't always have to be a crash. I don't want to put that in your mind. But it will revert to the mean, meaning either the stock prices have to come down, earnings have to skyrocket, or a combination of both. And I'm betting on a combination of both, meaning we're going to be in for a correction, not necessarily a bear market here. And it's going to come within a few months. It should be here, but now we're past the summertime. We had a little bit of summer flatness, a little bit down, but nothing really dramatic. So now, if you remember right, this, you know, we've had 10% corrections in these 3 months of the end of the year in the past, but it's not normal. Usually this is a good time of the year. So it's not sustainable, Manu. I just can't tell you when we will and what shape it's going to take, but I would take some caution here. Be cautious.
Last correction we have in January 16, I think. So
yeah.
It's almost 2 years.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been a long time. And that's as much, in a normal environment, we have 1 to 2 corrections a year of around 10%. We haven't seen that in, I don't know, how many years. So okay. When I hear people saying, well, it's just different this time, you don't understand how it works, or someone tells me I'm stupid about it, then I'll know that the correction is really close. Because that's happened before. Manu, thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. 5 signs of financial euphoria. Remember, financial euphoria is like the dot-com era, where we're just so excited about it. And then once that happens, you know you're at or near a peak. And this talking point is about the euphoria signs that we see out there. Now, I'm going to follow that up with another talking point of 5 important reasons why the stampede into stocks may just be getting started. In other words, more upside potential. So I'm going to get both sides. Okay, the 5 signs of financial euphoria, meaning, you know, it's getting pretty close. And in the short-term, I'm going to go through them real fast and then I'll explain a little bit about each. Short-term financial memory and misleading association of money and smarts. It's hard to make money, and to get it, you needed to be a genius. There's something new and potentially great rewarding in the world. Leverage attaches to stocks and real estate. Now, first one, investors have forgotten the tech crashes of the past, 2000, 2003. Massive market capitalization is tied to specific stocks. Remember that? Dot-com stocks, massive market. Well, what are they now? The FANG stocks, Facebook, Amazon, Apple, Netflix, Google. Look at the P.E. ratios, as Manu just pointed out. So they're very narrow. Even and number two, the leaders of these things up. Number two, misleading association, money and smarts. Everybody thinks Jeff Bezos and Tim Cook and Larry Page all are just brilliant people with the companies they have. That's happened before. Same thing. And they're all making tons of money. All these people are making tons of money. You think that that's because they know what they're doing in the market? They're smart, so I got to do what they do, following the herd? Nah, they're not geniuses. They're not. Social media and e-commerce, smart gadgets, and data mining via algorithms and pretty new look-like, you know, remember, it was a new paradigm in the dot-com age. Now they have all these really smart gadgets and data mining and that's what they have today. And finally, commercial property, residential property, building projects in tech-heavy cities like Seattle and Silicon Valley. We've seen this before. All this is not new. And it's not even that old. It wasn't even that long ago when we saw this. Trick is we just don't know how high is high. We don't. Coming up on the next Invest Talk, the Vanguard Fund founder comes up with numbers of U.S. stocks and bonds for the next decade. Return expectations for stocks and bonds, that's next time. What's your topic today? What do you want to talk about? I'm live. 888-99-CHART.
Everybody's looking for income. InvestTalk's Justin Klein agrees that that's a good strategy, but he has these caveats.
Income investing is more than just finding high yields.
There are risks that you may not even see right away.
Come to find out that down the line, that dividend yield is cut and the stock plummets.
And bonds can fail as well.
Or that bond goes in default.
Join registered investment advisors Steve Peasley and Justin Klein Thursday, November 16th for a free live webinar, How to Find Income and Value in an Overpriced Market.
So it's about finding income that is steady and consistent and as safe as possible.
You'll see how to build a solid income portfolio. It's November 16th at 6:30 Pacific Time. This webinar is free, but attendance is limited, so sign up soon. Just go to investtalk.com. That's InvestTalk with two T's, investtalk.com, and click on the InvestTalk tab.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Now, I just gave you the five reasons where the market is like in euphoric. How about five important reasons why the market stampede will continue? Okay, how about the first one is, well, we have that tax package coming, maybe. But that tax bill, you know, tax cuts, especially for corporate America with the rates going down, will mean more corporate profits, meaning higher valuations for stocks. How about a blowout quarter for earnings? We just had this last earnings was very good. This last earnings report quarter, it was very good. And maybe that's the precursor of better news going forward, better earnings going forward. How about stocks are heading in the strongest couple of months? We're going into the best time of the year. You know, it's November, December, January, February, March, you know, these are the best time of the year to be going into the market. And finally, number four, how about bullish sentiment is pretty high. People are pretty excited. Now, I can argue that there's too high, and back to the euphoria over here, but you can't argue about people excited about the market. And finally, all major economies in the world are heading in the right direction. As a matter of fact, this is the least, at this time, right now, as we're living in times right now, it's the least amount of countries in recession in history. Everybody's going in the right direction, finally. So those are reasons why maybe you should be bullish, not bearish. Pretty interesting, huh? I thought so. Let's go to Robert in Pleasanton. How you doing, Robert?
Doing well, Steve. How about you?
I'm good. Thanks for the call.
Hey, I'm calling in regard to the stock for Mallinckrodt, MNK. Stock took a big hit today.
You want to buy?
Wondering if it's an opportunity to pick up some shares. I don't currently own it, but I have been keeping an eye on it, and I think it was down about 35% or something along those lines today.
And wasn't it about sales? Were the top line sales were down. I think that was the reason, you know, that it got hit. So let's take a look at the company. It's called the Mallinckrodt PLC. It is a small cap, almost $2 billion company, not micro cap, but small, maybe getting close to medium cap. It's a UK-based developer of branded pharmaceuticals to treat a wide variety of health conditions. It's going to make $7.36 this year after making $7.63 last year. So it's going to lose about 4 or 5%, then rebound, according to the estimates, next year, up about 9%. And yeah, I could see the sales in the quarter were down 11%. That's why it got hit today pretty hard, from $31 down to $20. And that is totally unjustified for that much of a hit, because it wasn't that bad. And it looks like, you know, I will say this, Robert, it looks like it's a good value. I mean, we're talking a company that makes $6, $8 a share next year, and $7.36 this year. It's a $20 stock. Well, what is that, 3 PE? Three. The five-year range is 4 to 23. So, you know, I had 16% return on equity. Yeah, this looks like a bargain right now, Robert. I would suggest you wait till it settles down, but I have a feeling you're going to see a bounce off from this level. That, my gut feeling is you're going to see a bounce. It just a matter of is this the bottom? I don't know that. Give it a couple of days and see it settle down a little bit. But I do think it will bounce from here. And if you have some courage, this is the price you want to buy it at. Okay?
All right. I'll keep an eye on it.
Keep an eye. I think it's a good one. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. You know, a lot of these companies have gotten hit. You know, we talked about Teva, but a lot of these drug companies have just been crushed. And so there's going to be some opportunities to pick these things up. There's going to be some opportunities, and this might be one of those. MNK is a symbol. We're here for you, beginner, experienced investor. What's your money question? 888-99-CHARTER is how you reach me right now.
Hi, Steve. My name is Aaron from Massachusetts. I really enjoy listening to the show, and thank you for all you do. My question is about managing risk in my portfolio regarding one particular growth stock that has done well for me. I bought a small position in Universal Display, ticker OLED, 10 years ago that has run up quite a bit and now comprises 16% of the stocks in my portfolio. Other than this, I have only mutual funds, and I feel like this might be too large of a position for a single stock for me now. I do feel confident in its future growth prospects for the next 5 years or so. However, the size of the position makes me nervous. I could just sell half to lock in some profits, but I guess that Warren Buffett might just let it run. How do I know when to sell a winner? Thanks for the advice.
That's always a difficult question. When to sell is the most difficult. When to buy is easier, and most people can have no trouble buying. It's when to sell. And a good reason to sell is that a stock is too dominant in a portfolio. There's a good reason to sell. Not necessarily all of it, but it's a good reason to cut back. Universal Display Corporation, OLED, designs organic light-emitting diode devices for flat panel displays used in the consumer electronics market. It's a $7.8 billion company, so it's pretty good size, pretty big. Sales are growing, grew 100% most recent quarter. That's why it spiked up. Excuse me. Quarter before that grew 59%. Quarter before that up 87%. Quarter before that up 20%. The quarter before that fell 23%. So it's, you know, it's a screamer. It's now way overpriced at $167, making $2.31 this year, then going to make $3.10 next year. No matter how you look at it, that is way overpriced, 50, 60 PE. So this is how you do it. You sell half. Just sell half. You still own some, and you made a lot of money, and you still have it in case it keeps running on you. But you got 16% is way too much of a portfolio. Even 8% is high. So if you sold half, it's still 8%. That's still high. Yeah. So don't hesitate. Don't say, well, it might go up higher. Well, it could. Of course, it could double again on you. Of course, it could. But is that the right decision as far as managing the risk in your portfolio? And the answer is no. It's not the right decision. See, you can get lucky and, you know, have two or three stocks in your portfolio and make a ton of money. You could get the two or three correct. It's like going to the lottery system and you hit the lottery. Okay, but that's not how you make income and steady growth of your portfolio in the market. It's not how you do it. That's going to the Vegas and putting all your money on black or red. You want to manage that risk you're taking. Buy good, solid companies, growing their earnings, diversify over different stocks and different sectors. That's how you do it. And over time, you'll make good, steady money. Yes, once in a while you get lucky, and once in a while you'll get killed. It's just the way the nature of the market. But you can, and this is a, you have had a great run on this one, so take some off the table. It's just, that's that simple. That's a good reason to sell, because it becomes too heavy of a position. You need to rebalance. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So what's on your mind? What do you want to talk about? How about where is or where will... Oh, we're going to go to Freck first? Okay, we'll go to Freck. Freck in Pleasanton, how you doing?
Good, good, Steve. Hey, question. I have an account at E-Trade, and they have two different accounts. They have an adaptive account where they rebalance every 6 months, and they have a 0.3 fee. And then they have another account that they would help you manage and make recommendations, and that has a fee of 0.9. How do I put all of my money in one or the other? Do I split? It's only 50K, but how do I decide where to put the money?
Okay, well, one is just a rebalancing act of what you pick, you know, whatever stocks or bonds
right.
or whatever ETFs you own.
Yeah.
The other one is
yeah,
they're
yeah.
picking the positions, right? Yeah. So now the question is, can they do better than you? That's really the question. Now, if you're buying just index funds, if you're buying index funds, I would just let them rebalance the index funds. I pay the 0.3. You know, I'd take
right.
the cheaper
okay.
one. If you are buying stocks and you're trying to, you know, you want to be in the stocks specifically and you don't think you should be doing it, and you then hire them to buy the stocks and pick the stocks. It depends how comfortable you are making your own decisions, Freck. How much information, knowledge you have, how much time you can spend on it.
Right.
So
right.
If you do you feel comfortable picking your own positions?
I do.
Okay. Then do the 0.3.
Right.
That's what I would do.
Okay? Okay. Great. Thanks, Steve. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Freck. Appreciate the call. Yeah, let them rebalance. If you know, maybe you could pick the stocks, but you don't want to go through all the work of rebalancing every 6 months or whatever. So let's let them do it. Let's go to Will in San Diego. How you doing, Will?
Oh, pretty good, Steve. I was taking a look at Goodyear Tire, and the fundamentals seemed good to me, so I was wondering what you thought of them and whether or not now
okay.
would be a good time to get in.
Goodyear Tire, okay, $7.2 billion company, so it's pretty big. They've made money. This is the reason why it hasn't done that well in the last year or so, is because in 2016 they made $4.05 a share. This year they're only going to make $2.88 a share. That's almost 30% lower. So the stock kind of, you know, is struggling. But next year they're supposed to make 30% more. $3.74. So close to it. And it's at $3.74 in a $29 stock, that's what, an 8 PE or so? And they never
attracted me to it.
Yeah. They've never had a high PE, Will. Their range is 6 to 12, but that's at the lower end of the range, a good return on equity, 26%. I wish they would pay a higher dividend. They only pay 1.9%. So it's a kind of stock you want to buy it when it's cheap, and this is cheap.
Okay.
This would be the...
wouldn't be opposed to picking up some shares, huh?
I would not. It's been falling pretty hard for about 2 weeks, but it looks like it's trying to find support. It bounced a little bit up today. Give it a few more days and make sure it's... You're trying to, as best you can, ensure that it's not falling anymore. You know, so
okay.
I'd give it a few days to see if it doesn't fall anymore. Okay?
Great.
Thanks a lot, Steve. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it, Will. GT, Goodyear Tire, not an exciting company, pretty decent-sized big company, and it's fairly low-priced. I mean, it's not extremely low, but the sales have just increased a couple percentage points in the recent quarter. They finally turned themselves around, looks like. This might be the place. Okay, GT, 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Let's talk to Joel in Seattle. How you doing, Joel?
Hey, Steve, thanks for taking my call. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for the call. I was just in Seattle last weekend.
Oh, you were?
I was watching the Washington game. I have a nephew. I have a nephew. Are you a Washington fan?
Yeah, I'm
University of Washington.
I root for the Huskies too.
Okay. Well, my nephew is Dante Pettis.
Oh wow! So the Huskies had a pretty good game on Saturday.
Yeah, he broke the NCAA record for touchdowns from punt return, and I was pretty excited about it.
Wow.
Anyways, you have a question?
Yeah, I was looking at eBay today, and I've had this problem with a few different stocks lately. I'm trying to figure out where to get the earnings per share information. I usually use Fidelity.com, where I have my brokerage account, and I also use Morningstar. But just looking, eBay is one example of a stock where on Fidelity, it's saying that this year's earnings per share is going to be like $4 a share, but on Morningstar, it says it's going to be like $23 a share. So
that's really that's a big spread.
Yeah.
So, $23. The $23 has to be a mistake, Joel.
You know what? Maybe I was looking at Verizon. Visa instead of eBay. So maybe it was Visa that was on Fidelity. I think was showing $4 a share, and then on Morningstar was showing around $23 a share.
Yeah, eBay. I show $2.22 next year. Let's take a look at Visa. That's V, isn't that a symbol V? Visa. No, Visa is going to make $4.72 a share. Now, just so you know, for everybody and for you, I want to make sure we know different experts value, you know, look at it differently. So you're never going to get everybody to agree, but they should be fairly close. So when you see that kind of spread, Joel, that means something's wrong. Because it's never that kind of spread. Appreciate the call. Thanks, Joel. 888-99-CHART. Let's talk to Dave in Mountain View. How you doing, Dave?
Hey, doing good. Yeah, hey, I wanted to get your opinion on SCO. Oil has been on a roll, so I just wanted to find out. What do you think about it?
Okay. SCO is the pro. Yeah, S is in Sam, C is in Cat, O is in Open. It's the ProShares Ultra Short Bloomberg Crude, and it's an ETF corresponding to twice the inverse daily performance of the Bloomberg WTI Crude West Texas Intermediate Crude Oil Subindex. So, if oil prices go up, this goes down, and it goes down twice as hard. If oil prices go down, this will go up twice as fast. So, it's a bet on oil prices going down. Now, oil prices are now at, what, 57-something a barrel? And it's like, 28-month high for crude oil. And remember, there was problems with Saudi Arabia politically inside the country, and there's some corruption there, which, you know, big surprise. And so people got a little scared, so they drove oil prices higher. And oil is where you see inflation. That's one of my talking points here. My last talking point is going to talk about oil and inflation, and that's where you can see it. And that's going to filter through to a lot of part of our rest of our economy. Will it stop going up? Well, so 19 other commodities rose on Monday, almost 2%. That's a nine-month high for those other commodities. So we're having a little bit of a run in commodities, and the question is it done? Well, there's going to be a lot of arguments saying that maybe it's not, because all the world economies are finally growing. Most, not all. I can't say 100%, but the vast majority are growing, and they're going to, quote-unquote, put higher pressure on oil, even though we have plenty of oil. So it's kind of hard. I would say that we're close to a top, but, you know, you got a lot of factors that could drive this higher. And if you buy this, SCO, which is leverage, and I'm not a big fan of leverage ETFs, 200%. If you guess wrong, you're going to lose a lot of money in a short period of time. Oil could go up to $100 a barrel. It could. I don't think it will, but it could. I think it's high now, but I'm just guessing. So be very, very careful. Very careful. Appreciate the call. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So where is inflation? And is it showing up? And I just said I think it's showing up in oil. I think it's showing up in some of the other commodities. There's 19 of them that have a 9-month high, as I said. And we have seen, so the demand is growing. Remember, all the economies are moving in the right direction. Demand is going to increase. And labor markets are getting tighter here in the U.S., tighter. We've seen it getting tighter. So if it's getting tighter, does that mean more pressure on wages to go up? And then prices on commodities going up, wages going up? That's called inflation. Yet, U.S. treasuries are very placid. They're not really doing anything. If we have inflation, those rates should be going up, but they're really not. So there's still not pressure, inflation pressures yet. It's not being seen in any part of the economy necessarily, except in some of the commodities and the stock market. There you see inflation. But you don't see it in labor. You don't see it in prices at the stores. You don't see it in salaries. And you're not seeing in interest yields, treasury yields. You're not seeing it in rates. Mortgage rates, you don't see it. There's no inflation. Are they behind? Kind of a conundrum. Time to wrap it up. A reminder, my schedule is full up tomorrow in San Jose. That's when I'll be there, in San Jose tomorrow. Sorry about that. But we still can do it via phone or Skype. And I am coming back in early December to San Jose. If you want to meet with me, go just click on either through the phone or Skype or meeting, actual meeting in the San Jose area. Click on Invest Talk tab. Or if you want to meet with me in the Orange County office, and then click on Portfolio View. Invest Talk tab and Portfolio View. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And I'm glad you could be with me today. On behalf of Justin Klein and the whole KPP family, I want to thank you for being part of the program. Let's do it again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.